Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hi, this is Stephanie Megan.
You're listening to Broke Girl Therapy.
Because therapy is too expensive.
You're listening to Broke Girl Therapy. Broke Girl Therapy.
Kind of hands off down to settle. I like it like that.
Is the lighting okay? It's usually I have.
What about me? I have my ring light.
Yeah, no, your lighting is bomb. Your face looks fucking like.
Get into it.
Flawless. Your hair looks so good.
I think I did it myself.
And it's so white. Like, you really. Okay, anyway.
Call me Sally Hansen.
Yes,
bitch.
Wait,
she does nail.
I love it. All right, let's get to it. Hi, okay. Guys. It's me, Stephanie Megan, your host of Broke Girl Therapy. And guess the fuck what?
Broke Girl Therapy.
We have Jessica motherfucking Clark in her own goddamn house, bitch. This is the quarantine edition. Cheers.
Quarantine edition.
Even though you're sober.
Clink, clink, clink.
Oh my God, it's so weird. We actually, you guys, like, if you didn't know, we actually used to be roommates.
Yes.
And now we're not, but no. It's okay because I felt like I never saw you anyway, so it didn't even matter. It's kind of feels like the same thing.
It absolutely. That's so true. I think, yeah, hopefully I'll see you more. No, but you literally live like 7 to 9 minutes away. So.
Yeah, and I mean.
Never too far, honey.
Yeah, well, once this is over, we'll definitely be seeing each other more.
For sure. So, did you have a struggle? When I was putting on makeup, I was like, what is foundation? What's my shade?
Yes, I kind of had.
I was like, what's concealer? How do
what are my steps?
Where do I put it? Am I supposed to highlight? Wait, what? Blush? What?
No, for me, I had like a mental breakdown because I took selfies and I looked, I definitely gained weight. I was so upset. I was like, it's all the fucking Oreos dipped in peanut butter that I've been eating.
Wow, Steph. That's impressive.
I worked out today.
You did. I also went on a walk to the 99-cent store.
Oh, that's good. Very on brand. Well, anyway, yeah. Guys, this is an episode. This is not a normal episode. This is a Q&A episode.
Isn't this your first?
This is my first. I've never done a Q&A episode, and I kind of want to keep doing more of these.
I love it.
Yeah, and I went on Instagram and went on TikTok and told people to DM me or message me or comment with all the questions that they had. And I'm feeling really blessed and loved because I was filled with a lot of questions.
First of all, let's just take a pause. Let's just do a pause for the cause. Honey, you're blowing up. Sweetie.
Traction, but I'm still, you know.
Steph, I understand you need to be humble. However, let me. I'm a gloat for you. We popping, okay?
Yeah, I mean, no, it's doing really well, but I still feel like I still have a lot of work to do. I'm not.
We always got a lot of work to do, but guess what? To get to the work we gotta do, we gotta start somewhere. So we gotta celebrate the wins. You're winning.
No, I'm definitely celebrating. I just, you know. I don't like to brag.
It's okay. I did it for you. So we can keep it.
Thank you. No, but I've been completely blessed with all the questions. And so I'm doing, as of right now, I'm going to do 2 Q&As. So one with you, Jess, where it's talking about life and relationships and dating and yada, yada. Maybe a little bit of sex because that's how we do, bitch.
Of course.
But I'm going to leave all the really sex driven because I got a lot of these type of questions, sex driven questions for Jafra. So you guys just have to stay tuned for that.
Shout out to Jafra, man.
She's just like, she is literally the same person. I mean, you are too. I mean, all my friends are literally the same person on the show in real life, and our FaceTime calls are like absolutely fucking insane.
There's no other way to be but yourself, honey.
Exactly. Okay, so let's get into the first question, beach. All right, let's do this.
Okay.
So we got a few here, so we're gonna try to keep going through it and make sure that, you know, yeah. And you guys are always welcome to always like reach out and ask more questions. Like, I would like to continue to do stuff like this. So
for sure,
let's get into it.
Okay.
Well, let me just take a little. This is the first time drinking in a really like long time.
So my
A few sips got me a little tart. Okay, so number one, this is actually a question I get all the time, so I felt like I really wanted to make this the first one.
Okay.
Have guys been hesitant or not dating you because they're scared of being aired out?
Aired out how?
You know, oh, being talked about.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you answer that, sis, because I ain't got no platforms to end nobody out on.
Well, this is like personal. It's questions all over the board. But the straightaway answer to that is I think so. I don't think I've ever had anyone tell me straight up, like, I don't want to date you because of the show. But I'm pretty sure a lot of dudes that I would talk to or, like, message online with were definitely kind of, like, saw it and just didn't really fully feel comfortable, you know?
Right.
So,
and then don't a lot of guys also ask you, like, are you going to put this on the show?
All the time. Like, I'll be, like, making out with the dude, and he'd be like, this is definitely going on your pod. I think I was having sex with one, and he was like, or I was taking my clothes off. We were, like, about to hook up, and I was, like, taking off my thigh-high boots.
How do you feel about that, though? Like, are you trying to get clout?
Well, honestly, it does kind of make me feel uncomfortable when, like, guys ask me that, because it's, like, you know, granted, like, yeah, content is fun and important to, you know, I've been in situations where my content would be nice, but a lot of situations, like, for instance, like, with Morgan, aka Satowski, like, I think at first he was a little bit of, like, nervous about just being content, and that hurt, because I really liked him. I didn't want him to feel like that. So at times it does get a little tricky, but if a guy right off the bat is like, hell nah, then whatever, that's on you, boo.
Well, okay.
Number two.
Okay.
I got this question a few times too. Number two is, what do you do all day in quarantine? I work.
I work too. God bless me. I'm an essential worker.
I'm not. Actually was like temporary unemployed, but I got my job back. So now I'm just working. So I'm working a lot during
working,
the week.
Working out.
You know, just trying to survive.
Right.
Okay. Number three, we'll get to the ones, I'm trying to get these ones out of the way. These are like the curious questions, but number three is, are you still talking to Davion? No. Do you remember Davion, Jess?
Of course I remember Davion.
No, I mean, we're civil, we're cool. We haven't talked or hung out since the advice from an ex episode. I think he did hit me up once to hang out, but I was actually hanging out with Morgan, so...
Let me upgrade.
Yeah, bitch, you didn't want me, so now I got someone who does. Fuck you. No, it's okay. It's fine. We're over it. We've adults here, moved on.
Long time ago.
All good. Okay, now let's get into the deep fucking questions here.
I'm ready.
Okay. Number four. How can I be more confident?
Ooh.
See, I struggle with that because today I had a meltdown.
Like tears?
No, I just was just like, you know when you take selfies and it's not working and you just start like, I don't know. You know, we have our moments. I also think I'm getting my period. But how do I be more confident? How about you, Jess?
Wow, it's confidence. Honestly, it did take a while for me to develop. I think probably... When I turned 27, is probably the most confident I have felt. But I think this is going to sound so cliche, but it just starts from the inside and like how you think, how you genuinely think about yourself, regardless of how you look, regardless of what your situation is. Like life is always going to have ups and downs. It's always going to challenge you, but you have to have like a bottom foundation. And the way I found my foundation of who I truly am is just through going through life and persevering.
Right. Like,
every single day you make another day, that's you gaining your self-confidence, because that's you being able to, like, look back at yourself and, like, yo, I made it through that. Like, that means, like, you know.
Exactly.
But there is, like, even going through, like, I didn't do the best in undergrad. Okay, so. I ain't gonna lie, Craig. I didn't do the best. But now, like, I've been putting off applying for my master's for so long because I'm just like, well, I didn't do well in undergrad. So what makes me think I can do well in do my master's? And I've just right. been putting off because of that just, like, self-doubt and that mean talk to myself that I'm not good enough, you know, I'm not smart enough, you know, I'm not worthy. And so I had to, like, really, like, look at where that's coming from. And every time I get those thoughts, try and correct those thoughts with something else positive.
Yeah.
And my mentor slash sponsor tells me, like, don't compare yourself to your past self, but to your future self. And my future self is a bad bitch. Okay.
Yeah.
And my future self can get her MBA. Okay. Exactly. So, and so
it's that's manifesting and envisioning yourself and trying to just, like, right. see that and, you know, go towards that. I think another thing for me that helps with confidence is what I realized a few years ago is when I stopped judging others, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when we all know those people who are like, oh my God, she looks fat. Oh my God, she looks so gross. Those type of people are actually really insecure within themselves.
Oh,
so the way that stuff that, you know, the energy that you put out is what you bring back in. So when I right. noticed that I stopped judging people for their weight, the way they looked or whatever, it actually helps with my confidence
right.
because I didn't think like, oh my God, that person's going to think that I look like this or like that. You know what I mean? Right. Although it is like obviously an ongoing battle right. every single day, but honestly, like once I, not that I feel like I was like the most judgmental person, but we've all been there. We've all been young. We've all been, you know, we lived in a culture where it was like, we watch America's Next Top Model and you see right. Tyler just judging all these models yeah. and you think it's okay. You know what right. I mean?
It's crazy that you say that. I was just telling that to somebody yesterday because we were talking about like one of the famous, I'm not going to say the name because BGT is blowing up and I'm not trying to get you sued, but one of the famous Instagram pages that posts a lot of shade. And okay. And so I was just saying, like, it's so horrible, like, being a celebrity on that page because there's thousands of people commenting on your life and being so, like, rude and horrible. But, and I was just saying to my friend, like, honestly, if you're being able to say something so negative about someone that you don't know, that just shows what's, like, stirring on your inside. Like, that exactly. nastiness is in you to be able to fix your thumbs to type this about someone that you have no idea, like, what it's like to walk in their shoes.
Exactly. And so,
like, if you're looking to better yourself, you're not going to be highly critical of other people because, like, if you know you're working on yourself, you also give
you're
that
not gonna
same
be focused
grace
on anyone else,
right? You're gonna degree. Give that same grace no. to somebody else, you know,
right?
And so, yeah, like,
and it just takes so much time to, like, go out of your way and say these negative
so much,
comments
about and they're so passionate, really just,
right? Exactly. It's because there's something deep down within yourself. So when you stop doing that and you just, like, you try not to think of those negative ways, it actually helps with just how you look at yourself and how you value yourself.
Right.
In my opinion.
And I guess, like, also one last thing I will say.
Yes.
One last thing, what I do, and it's so corny, like, it's so corny, but it works.
No, do it. Say it, say it.
I'm like, when I drive to work in the morning, I say, like, positive things to myself. I'm like, yeah. I'm great. I'm amazing. I deserve amazing things. I'm a beautiful person.
That's what you should. That's what everyone should be doing every single day.
I do it. Like, I just say, and it's, I'm like, oh my God, you're so stupid. I'm like, no, I'm not stupid. I'm fantastic. And, you know, the more that you, it's a mind thing. The more you say these things to yourself, the more you start to believe it.
That's exactly what that is. Especially, you know, like, we've all been there where we'll drop something like, oh my God, that was so stupid. Like, why did I do that? I'm so clumsy. It's like,
right.
Well, yeah, you are clumsy because now you really are telling yourself that that's what you are and you're believing it and now you are becoming right. it. So if you just tell yourself, like, yo, like, I'm dope no matter what, you know, my imperfections are.
Be kind to yourself.
Yeah, be kind to yourself. I've been so mean to myself for so long. Right. And, you know, till this day, I still battle with trying not to be like, don't talk shit to yourself, man.
Right. It's not healthy.
Okay. So next one. Why are men so much more immature than us?
Listen, do we have all day?
Yeah, I was like, that should be a whole ass episode.
We can go the scientific route. We can go the emotional route. We can go demographic. There's so many ways we can do this.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, it's crazy how they're just so much more immature. I don't really feel like I have an answer to why they are like that. They just are.
I mean, scientifically, the men's brain grows slower than the woman's brain.
100%. And women were so much more detailed. And we have, like, you know, the biological things of, like, when we need to have a baby. You know what I mean? So we're just so much more driven towards that direction, while men just want to fucking stick their dick in everything, you know, and it takes them a while to be like, oh wait, maybe I do want to settle down now. Like,
and I think we're naturally nurturers, and I think there's so much in being a nurturer, like having emotional intelligence, being able to sympathize with others, taking others' feelings into consideration. Those things are things that come naturally to us as women, and they don't come as naturally to some men as well. It's a trained behavior.
It is.
Your parents need to teach you how to act right. Period.
That's all, period. Okay, number six. What does it mean if a guy is embarrassed to be friends with you but asks to have sex, etc.?
It means leave him. Bye.
Yeah, I was going to say, that right there is just straight to the point. I mean, I don't know the situation, girl, the one that was asking me this, but no person or man should ever be embarrassed of you and then try to, like, sneak around with you behind everyone else's back. No.
You're worth more than that. I promise you. Take my word for it.
Oh, my God. I mean, have you ever been through that situation before, Jess?
No. Let me really think about it. I think, if anything, I've always struggled with men not being able to commit to me.
Right.
And so I think that's probably the closest I would come to that kind of situation. Whereas, you know, we'll do all the things people in relationships do, but they just want
to be friends. They don't want anything else. But at the same time, it's like, every time I'm in those situations, like, their friends, like, don't even know about me. For instance, like, sorry to drag Davion. Mm-hmm. I was fucking Davion on and off for, like, 3 years. And I finally met his brother, I think, like, last year. And his brother literally had no idea who I was. I was like, I don't...
Did it hurt? A little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. I was like, yeah. I mean, we were just, like, friends. Or I just tried to, like, act like I was, you know, it didn't bug me a little bit. But I'm like, damn, like, that does suck. And, you know, and I mean, I don't regret it, but at the same time, it's like, I wouldn't want to be in that situation ever again, because it's like, why are you embarrassed to me? I'm fucking dope.
And I think it's a talk to, like, the first question about, like, confidence. It's about knowing your self-worth. Like, if you know how much you are worth, you know how you should be treated, and you know you have to create a standard for yourself. And for me, my standard is not to be hidden. You know, I'm a prize baby. Get into it. Okay.
Exactly. But I get it. I feel like now I feel like I'm a little over that stage, but for a while I felt like it was definitely like, you just get so caught in the lust that you're just willing to just deal with just anything. But it's just like, I hope you get to a point sooner than later to realize that the shit ain't that fun.
No. And because, you know, a lot of the time we have sex because we kind of want to, we're all searching for something. We're searching for love, we're searching for some emotional compatibility, something.
Right.
And so anywhere that, and some people translate sex as love, you know. And so in some people's mind, they may be like, well, he's having, even though he's not showing me around, he's having sex with me, so that must mean
and
something.
He loves my pussy.
Right. But it's like, nah, sis.
Yep. Okay. Number seven. How to spot a fake friend. Oh my God, excuse me.
When you find the answer to that, let me know.
I know. No, I mean, I think that, like, it's really just, you just look at their actions.
Yes. Actions speak louder than words.
Exactly. Like, you could have a friend who could be like, I'm your best friend, I will ride or die for you. But if they're not there for you, or you don't feel like you could really go to them for certain things, like,
Probably and not. Also, you should
go with your gut feeling. I feel like your gut always knows whether you want to listen to her or not. Your gut always tells you,
watch out for this one.
Yeah.
Watch out. And I feel like also, I lost my train of thought. Never mind. What was the question? How do you spot a fake friend? I think you should also monitor when they call you. Or when, do they just call you just to go out? Do they call you just when they have a problem? Do they ever check up on you just randomly throughout the week? Are they feeding you spiritually, emotionally, mentally in any way? Are you giving more to them than you are reciprocating? Are they, when you get off the phone, do you feel exhausted?
Right.
Are they talking about the same man with the same problems and you're telling her the same advice every single time, or
they don't even care to like ask how you're doing.
Right.
It's just always about them. I mean, you know, I think, I was just talking about it yesterday with a couple of my friends. They're like, oh, are you still friends with so-and-so? And I was like, no, I had to cut that shit off because it was definitely a very one-sided friendship where he would always call me and like vent about his life. And I told him, I was like, yo, like, you only call me when you want to just like ramble about yourself and your like dating struggles, but you never ask me how I'm doing.
Right.
And then I felt like, okay, he was like, he kind of listened, but afterwards I could just tell like he was dying. Like every time he'd call me, he'd be like, so how are you? And he'd like try to sound like he really cared, but it just did not feel genuine.
Organic, yeah.
So, right. So just kind of just spawning like, you know, if someone, and I just feel like I shouldn't have to tell someone that.
You should
know already.
You care enough.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, look at the actions, look at the way that they treat you when they want to see you, when they want to talk to you, what they want from you.
Yes.
Those are all the things, man. Those are
all the things to look for.
Yeah. And, you know, with time, I think we all show
our true colors at one point or another.
Exactly.
Okay. So let me share a tale as old as time. And I'm sure you guys would relate. I'm pretty sure. So I had a friend who recently ended up on a date with a guy who showed her pictures of his ex during dinner. Yeah, you heard it right. Pictures of him and his ex. And then I had another friend who matched with a guy and spent an evening chatting about dogs and travels only to get his dick pic out of the blue. We've all been there, right? Swiping through a sea of potential matches only to find ourselves in a shipwreck of weirdos and dating disasters. It may sound funny, but let's talk real talk. The constant letdowns, bizarre encounters, and endless ghosting can seriously mess with your head. Mental health is no joke when it comes to dating. And that's where Floor comes to change the narrative. The best thing about the Floor app is it's not just another dating app. It's a sanctuary for sanity in a crazy world of dating. Imagine a place where you can be yourself and connections are made without the drama. You can now say goodbye to the mind games and hello to the meaningful conversations. At Floor, they're all about empowering you to take control. A woman chooses who to talk to and how. There's a safe mode in all chats that doesn't allow dirty talk or explicit pics, and only a woman can turn it off, only when she's ready. The worst part about dating is how redundant conversations could feel, and I feel your pain on that. But what I love about this app is that there's several games in the app to help break the ice. That way it can help you navigate the conversation and it doesn't feel redundant. So if you're tired of the dating app circus affecting your mental health, I strongly advise you to try the Floor app. It's a journey of self-discovery, laughter, and meeting fantastic people who won't make you question your life choices. Download the Floor app right now, FLURE, and spend a night chatting. And I hope you have a great time and find your perfect match.
All right, number 8. This is where it gets a little sexual, you know, but it's you know, it's not like intense.
Hit me.
I just had a lot of questions about virginity.
Wow.
A lot of questions.
Throwback.
Yes, I know. I was like, damn, I had to think about it too.
What was that like?
I know, I was like, I don't even remember. I'm so old. Like, I'm like, I don't even, okay. So We'll start with the question of, if you need to be drunk to lose your virginity, is it a sign that you're not ready?
Yes.
As a sober person, you say yes?
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
As a drunk person, I say yes too.
No doubt about it. If you, okay, let me go into my sober bag just for a real quick second.
Get to it.
If you have to self-medicate to do anything, and that could be sex, that could be going through your day, it could be to deal with a certain person, it could be because you're, you know, anything. If you have to substitute a substance to kind of stop that feeling or to numb that feeling, there's something deeper going on that you need to look at.
100%.
And so I may not even focus on the virginity, that sex part, but why you turn to that substance in particular to deal with the feel. Are you avoiding? Right. What feeling
are you
avoiding?
Because they're not comfortable. They're not ready. Yeah, that's really exactly. What that is. You're avoiding.
Not ready.
Right. You're and maybe, avoiding. You know, I'm assuming maybe they want to do it for this because maybe they're feeling pressure. Mm-hmm. Or they're feeling, you know, insecure or nervous. I don't think that, no. I mean, yeah, don't feel like you need to be drunk in order.
Especially
to
your first time. Like, I did not have the best first time. And I feel like your first time should be something that is memorable. It's something yes. to be cherished.
Which leads to the next one.
Ooh, look at me.
Yes. Was your first time awkward?
You answer first.
Okay, hold on, let me see. Because the next question is, when did you lose your virginity and what is a good, okay, when did you lose your virginity? Sorry, I'm all over the place. Well, I lost it at 16 and was it awkward? Kinda. I mean, but it was with, no, it was, I mean, it wasn't awkward. It was only awkward because him and I were both virgins, so we didn't really know how to stick it in properly. He was my first love. He was my first boyfriend. So I felt like in a very safe space to make it, for it to be awkward. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It wasn't one of those situations where I felt like I didn't know this person or care for this person. So I was in my head. I was, you know, making love. I loved this man and I felt like him and I were ready. So, it wasn't awkward. I just remember like, it was, but it wasn't, we just tried like different positions and for some reason we didn't understand how to put it in. And then eventually we got it.
How
and eventually we,
how where do I put his penis?
I don't know why we couldn't figure it out. I don't know if it was like my pussy was too tight or
that could be.
I don't know. Cause it's like, he's fingered me prior to this. It's like, he knew where my hole was, but
yo, I have a question. Did you sneak out when your cherry popped?
Here's the thing. My cherry didn't pop the first time we had sex. My cherry popped in church.
I need more, Steph. I need more.
I don't know, because you know how they say that you actually could pop your cherry at any time?
At any time.
So it was, I was at church, it was during mass, and I remember afterwards, I saw that there was a bunch of blood in my pant, and I was like, oh my god, I got my period. So I started, I think I put a pad on or something like that. I was like, I had to be like 13. So I put a pad on, and then the next day, like, I was not bleeding at all, and I just was so confused. And as I got older, I realized, like, and I never, like, when I had sex with him, I never bled, and I've never bled, unless I was on my period, obviously, but I've never bled during sex. I never, you know what I mean? And one day, I just realized, like, oh, shit, I popped it in church that one time. It's always been such a mystery. So Jesus took my virginity.
Call you Mary. Sorry, Lord.
I am Mary for sure. Definitely.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. There's people going to be so pissed at that.
Please don't. I'm a pastor's kid, so it's all jokes here. It's all jokes.
So, okay, how about you?
Was it awkward?
How old were you?
I was 18.
Okay.
I was a late bloomer. I was a very...
Is that late, though? I mean, that's feel like that's a... I don't know.
Nowadays, it's late.
Okay, that's
people
true,
are popping the pee at when they're like 14, 15 nowadays, 16. But I was a late bloomer, like, just because I was quite sheltered as a child. So when I came to America, it's my first year of college, I already became very wild. But it was one of those things where I was like, oh, I don't want to have sex, but I do. You know, kind of like,
right, trying to be like,
no, no, but yes, you know.
Right.
And so
I still do that till this day.
Yeah, same. So it just happened. It wasn't really awkward. It was just, but when it was done, I was like, am I going to, because I was very like, I was a stuck up virgin. I was like, I'm better than you because I still have my virginity.
Oh, you're one of those. You're like, yeah.
But girl, once, and then I was like, dang, I ain't got nothing to be stuck up about anymore. I'm just like,
you're like, you just like everybody else.
Probably a good thing, because I would be on a whore. I'll just be like, I'm better.
Yeah. Who was he? Who was the guy that you lost it to?
Oh, well, I think his name was like Jonas or something like
that. You don't remember his name? Like, how did you know him? Was he like a classmate?
College. No, he was just cute.
Where is he now? I don't want to lurk him.
Honestly, I don't even know where he is. And I think that's, I wouldn't say it was awkward, but I wish I did have a better first time. And that's why, for the prior question, I'm like, make sure it's right, you know?
Right.
Because it wasn't anyone that I dated. It wasn't anyone that was like important to me.
It was just a hookup.
It was just a hookup. And yeah. I do regret. Not, you know, I do regret not having a better situation than that, but
yeah, it is what I will say, like, not to brag, I'm so happy that I lost it to someone that I was like in love with.
Yes.
And I think, I mean, I will say, like, after, you know, after having sex with him, and like, I was in a relationship with him for 5 years, he was like the only one I was obviously having sex with. And then when I like was single and was now in the dating world, I didn't understand the hookup culture. Like, I didn't understand, right, like, you could just hook up and not have feelings. Like, I was so used to doing it with someone I loved. So, I mean, although I am very happy with that, but at the same time, I wish someone told me, like, this is what this life is about, you know what I mean? And so,
yeah, same.
I was expected to be in love because I was like, well, I had sex with you, like, we're supposed to be together.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no,
sure,
honey.
For sure. Yeah, but no, mine wasn't that awkward. It was just regretful.
What is a good age to lose your virginity? I don't think there's a, like, a specific age. I think it's just whenever you're ready. Obviously, whenever you're ready. Be like way too young.
No, but I think honestly, I think you should be, y'all gonna kill me, I think it should be between 21 and 22.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
I think that you have a better grounding of yourself and of others, and you're able to be a lot more self-aware at that age.
I mean, at 21, I was not self-aware.
Well, you're more self-aware than you were when you were 18, like, yeah, or 16. Like, what you were in high school, like, what did you were learning about, like, geography, which we don't even use now. Right. I just think that's just too young. Yeah. Like, you should be like playing outside or something like that. This is old.
I know. I mean, I think ideally, yeah, we should be adults in our 20s.
But whenever you're ready.
Yeah, and I think about it, but like the realisticness of that though is that our hormones are fucking crazy at like fucking 15s. Exactly. So it's bound to happen.
Yeah.
So I rather just like, just, yeah, I feel like you just have to feel like it's ready and not feel pressured.
As long as you're safe.
Or rushed, yes.
Right. As long as you're in a safe with someone that you're comfortable with, you're not coerced into doing it, and it's something that's consensual, and you're comfortable, and you are sound mind, girl, get your life.
And don't ever feel like you need to have sex with someone because you don't want to be, like, prude. That was another thing too. I think when I was younger, I just like didn't want to come off as like prude, but you know, bitch, whatever. If you're fucking prude.
And you know, when I grew up in Ghana, like doing sexual things was not cool. Like,
oh really?
Being like promiscuous or even kissing, bitch. If you kiss somebody, it was like news. That's how it was like.
I would have been such a slut.
And if you like got fingered, it would always get around.
Definitely would have been such a whore.
People would look down on you. It was bad. So I've always been in a place, a culture that was like, you know, everybody just be good children. The more like
clean. I mean, that's good. It's good, I guess.
You know, the more cute or cool you were.
Yeah, no, then I would have been.
But it was nice too, because guys didn't really pressure you to have sex either. So it was like a guy and girl thing. It was like guys didn't expect sex. Well, the guys I talked to anyway, and the girls weren't given it. So it was cool.
Oh my God.
Then I came to America.
We all little thoughts out here at the age of 13 years old. I found my fucking eighth grade planner, and I swear every page was just me confessing my love to another boy.
Yo, I saw that. I was dying.
I was just, and I made out with all of them, you know what I mean? And that was only, like, and I had more, like, men, boys, not men, boys that, like, I dated, and I'm just like, oh, God. If I was ever, like, my daughter, I'd be, like, so scared. No wonder my dad was always like, oh yeah. Anyway, we don't get into that. Okay. Next question. How do you go about a one-sided relationship?
I don't. Next.
That kind of goes back to the last, that one question. If a guy is embarrassed to be friends with you and ask to have sex, that's a very one-sided relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next. Like, what else can you do with a one-sided relationship? Like, that's just, you
know. I mean, okay, let's think about a scenario. Let's try and put ourselves in their shoes. You're madly in love with someone, and they're not putting the effort. However, just their presence being there is enough for you. And you're okay with doing the work because you eventually feel like, I'm probably saying this because I've been through it, you eventually feel like, you know, they're going to fall in love with you. They may not be as in love with you now, but the more work you put in, the more you're going to compensate.
And they later. Don't.
But I'm here to tell you it don't work, sis.
I think there are way too many goddamn. I feel like every situationship, which is like a fuck buddy or whatever, was always very one-sided, even though I lied to myself and said, I just got to be a fuck buddy too. No, that was a very one-sided relationship. My dumbass. No, sorry, not dumbass. I don't want to talk about myself like that.
In my younger
years. Myself back in the day was just settling. That's really what it is. That's just settling for this one-sided relationship. I was like, all right, let me just, like, mold myself to be this, like, hoe who's, like, down to just fuck and be, like, you know, like, not attached. But in reality, I need love. I need affection. I need, you know, I need someone to call me and to show me off and to appreciate me. You know, I think we all want that.
And I feel like you also find yourself trying to adjust to who they want you to be rather than who you really are. So even if you have certain opinions, you may not. And let's say, like, you have an opinion, they say, well, no, I don't think that. You're like, well, yeah, actually, I agree with you instead.
Exactly.
You find yourself, like, trying to just please them. And even if that's not your, and you start, the more you do that is the more you're straying away from your true self.
Exactly. And I think that goes back to just, like, confidence and, like, self-worth.
Yeah.
When you're confident in yourself and you know what you deserve, like, you're not going to try to, like, mold yourself to be this, like, woman for him, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, you're a woman for yourself first.
Exactly. Look at us.
Advice for free, honey. Get into
it. Okay. Next one. Is there anything you tried to hide during sex? For example, I keep my top on. You know what? I did this for a while. I would keep my top on. And, like, in the beginning of, like, my hoeness, like, my early 20s, I would keep my top on. And then eventually I was like, one day I was like, fuck it. Let me let this, gut hang out. And I was just like, everything's flopping everywhere. And they like it. Like, that's what I felt like
they don't care.
At first I felt like I needed to be this, like, skinny, like, flat stomach, no rolls, no double chin, like, type of thing. But it's, like, they love to see, like, they don't care. They're just...
Yeah, they don't. I even had a guy tell me, I was like, oh, my... I was, like, saying something stupid, like, oh, my eyebrows are not done, or my something. And, like, he was like, you know, guys don't notice those things, right? So everything that we're paranoid about, like... Back in the day, if my nails weren't done or a nail was broken, I couldn't go out. If my feet weren't done, best believe I'm wearing closed-toe shoes. Like,
you know, if a guy notices that and, like, doesn't like you for that, Like, that's literally what a weirdo, because that's so superficial to, like, not be into that. Like, it's just, dude, calm down. It's like, it should be more about you as a person, you know, versus, like, oh, her toes and nails gotta be done all the time.
Like you're paying for it?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, but yeah, I mean, I think just take your fucking top off. You know, ride that dick.
Because if he can't accept you for who you are, like,
trust me, I'm not a tiny person.
Same.
I mean, I'm like five. You're smaller than me, but
I'm not a tiny person.
You're
I'm not like only slim that.
You're like slim thick.
But I've been thick before. I know what it feels like to be thicker than thick. Okay.
And yeah, I mean, although I did
have, I was drunk a lot of the times I was having sex in my prior life. So, which of course I do not advocate for. Hence why I'm sober. But so I didn't care. I was like, take it off.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I did not care.
And I, you know what? Like, I love like fornicating with dudes who like make you feel sexy, like you know, with your scars out, your gut out, right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like when that's their job. Like, you know what I mean? Like, as a man, make like you if you're having good. Sex with a woman, like make her feel comfortable. So if you're with someone who's not making you feel comfortable, it's probably not that good. I ain't gonna lie, it's probably not that good.
But I need you to be like, I love all 567 of your stretch marks, baby. They make me
so
like
just kiss on
ready.
It.
Kiss one, baby.
And also just like don't make just like make you feel sexy. I mean, I get it, like you should feel sexy first and then do it, but like they play a part in it too. Like
absolutely.
I would not want to be having sex with the dude who was just like, ooh, you're good. I'd be like, fuck
or
you.
Or like poke it.
Yes.
Don't, like, I'm not a bear. Stop. Don't poke
me. Right. I'm not a bear. Like, I have this humongous mole on my back that I'm really self-conscious about. But I mean, I kind of like when guys just, like, play with it. Like, it kind of makes me feel like, okay, like, you don't care. Like, you're not scared to touch it. Like,
you know what I mean? Guys are not afraid to touch your mole.
Like, it's always such a big reveal when they see my mole.
Big reveal.
It's like, oh wow.
Yeah.
They're still into it.
You're different.
You know.
Look at you, you little Dalmatian, you.
Yeah. so insecure about that mole, but I was like, fuck it, it's there. Okay. Yeah.
What's next?
The last question. This is a big paragraph.
Boo! I'm enjoying this.
I know. I mean, we will always probably, I mean, you guys just keep sending me questions because I'm down to just
answer.
Yeah, if there's nothing that we've covered in this episode, I'm down to cover something else too. Okay, so next one. My friend and I are in our early 20s, have been friends since middle school. Right now we're in two different stages. I'm in a serious relationship for 5 years and she just got out of a serious relationship. Sorry, I'm like, got a joke. She's going through her hoe phase and I 100% support, but now she will only hang out with me if we drink or party. I'm down here and there, but it's not me to do that every weekend, all weekend. I feel like she definitely has pushed me away. I'm always texting, calling her first, asking her to go to hiking, have a chill girls' night, but always makes excuses to blow me off. I've told her how I felt and now she completely does not talk to me. Bitch, am I being dramatic? I'm low-key hurt and don't know how to go about anything. Please give me your thoughts. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I've been that friend and I've been her at the same time. I've been in both places. And I think, especially in your early 20s, there is going to be, I think all of us have gone through it, where we realize and maybe our friendships from high school and from junior high or our long-term friendships aren't going to like continue. People grow out of each other. And I'm not saying that they are, but that is a possibility and that's normal. And I also think that sometimes, you know, if she's going through something, like let her go through it, but still continue to be there for her no matter what. And you know, again, like I have a friend who's going through a lot and kind of doing a lot of things, but I try not to, I try not to judge him, but I still try to be there and support him no matter what. And that's all you could do, I think, kind of. I will say, you can't force it. That's what I'm trying to say. You can't force something. You can't force her to try to see where she's coming from. She's going through something, so you just got to let her go through it, but still be there no matter what.
That's what I think. I went through the same thing with my best friend of 15, 16 years, and she got married, she had kids, and I was just out here thotting and bopping. And I was like, she was my party girl, she was my drinking buddy, like, right, whatever. And then she obviously became a mother, so she couldn't be that person for me anymore. And so we definitely, like, butted heads, because the things that I thought that our relationship was grounded upon, or that connected us together, no longer connected us. And that made me kind of, like, question, like, whether we were going to continue to be friends, you know, because, but then I feel like in every relationship you grow, you know, and you just have to, like, the foundation of my relationship with her is that she's an amazing person. She's been there for me throughout my life, and that's never going to go away. But then we have to come to a point where we have to compromise. So it's just like, what does, now that her life has changed, I can choose to change my mindset of how I interact with her. So, you know, I may call her and be like, hey, let's go out, you know, and the next day maybe, or the next time we hang out, be like, let's stay home, chill with the kids, you know. And so it's just kind of like restructuring your relationship as you grow, you know.
Right.
And so it doesn't mean that you don't have to be friends. It's just a change. And every relationship, and it takes work. You have to communicate with each other how each of you are feeling, and just work on how and work on what's going to make both of you happy, finding a medium between you guys.
And I'm still friends with a lot of people I went to high school with, and with every single one of them, there has been, even the ones that were like my best friends, you know, that lived down the street from me, like, we've all been through moments in our friendship where we didn't talk for a while. And I think, but every time we did come together, there was still that connection, that friendship, and we always, you know, we're catching up and we build and we both just grow, you know, as people.
Right.
And I think that, like, that's what makes a solid friendship, is the fact that you feel like you don't need to be with each other all the time. Yeah. You still know that you still ride for each other no matter what. No matter what place you are in your lives, you know, like, I have friends who are married and have kids. I'm over here, like, single and having a podcast talking about dick. Like, you know, we all have different places in our lives and shit.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And so, I feel like also with her, like, her friend, I think she's in her, even though she's, like, not talking to her anymore, I think she just misses her friendship. And I think that she misses who you guys used to be. And I guess there's some, especially when your friend has a whole other life going on with somebody else, you kind of feel out of place, because that was your girl, you know, that was your ride or die. And now she's with someone else.
It's like a relationship.
It definitely,
like, friendships are like a relationship. So when you see them moving on and they're like all keying with somebody else,
right?
Kind of like, and you feel like a little like cheated on a little bit, you know? So that hurts.
And I think that the other person should also take that into consideration and reassure them that, you know, hey, no, I'm still here from you. I'm still, but this is where I am. But then, you know, you're still valid in where you are in your life, and you should stick to that. But then the same way, if something was going on with you and your boyfriend, you'll find a way to compromise with your boyfriend to make it work for your boyfriend. It's the same way you have to work on that with your friend, because honestly, good friends are hard to find nowadays. Like, they ain't rolling around. Like,
I have friends come and go.
They come and go so easily. And they can get off, cut off real quick in my book. I'm like, bye. So it's like, this is your good sis. Like, work on it, reassure her, and then just compromise with her. And I think y'all be good. Y'all.
Yeah, I think, you know, only time can tell. Just learning to respect each other, I think, is the biggest thing.
Yes, and find boundaries. Also.
Yeah,
boundaries and friendships are so important. Because I feel like, especially when you know someone for so long, you kind of cross certain boundaries.
And also, I feel like for me, like, I do have a good, like, I do have a lot of friends, and I'm thankful and I'm completely blessed for that. But I do have, I think, boundaries with all of them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's always those friends that are like, the ones you could party with.
Yeah.
And the friends that you could really, like, sit down and really talk to and just, like, tell them your life, you know what I mean? And I don't think there's nothing wrong with having partying friends or those type of friends. It's just knowing that, like, okay, I can't expect this and I can't expect that, you know what I mean? So just knowing the boundaries, yeah.
Right. I don't expect anything from anybody. Yeah, like, yes. Because you're always 100%.
You'll be disappointed.
You're going to be disappointed. And so if you're thinking, don't do things for other people because you think that you're going to get something back for it, you know, because you may not, and you don't want to start to get resentment because of that. But do things because you genuinely want to. And if you don't want to do something, say no. It's okay to say no.
Exactly. Well, shit. That's the last of our questions.
I
also got a shit ton of sex questions too. So again, like I said,
I can't wait to watch that
separate episode with Joffre talking about sex. But feel free. I'm loving doing these episodes. I always like send in your questions and stories and
send them in
all that stuff. And then I'm so excited for quarantine to be over because I hate these Zoom conversations, to be quite honest. I wish we could be together.
I know, I miss you.
As I'm like coughing.
The Rona.
Well, do you want to plug yourself?
Hi, Jessica Clark here, tuning in from Silver Lake. Follow me on Instagram, j.clark with an e, clarke underscore. Find me on the grams.
Yeah. And then follow me, Stephanie Megan, or go to brocotherapy.com. I also have been posting videos on YouTube, so you'll be seeing this video episode on YouTube. So go subscribe, like whatever people say.
Like, subscribe,
comment,
turn on your notifications so you know when I'm coming.
Do you watch a lot of YouTube?
Do I? Girl, I found out how to do my nails on YouTube. My hair on YouTube.
That's true. You can find out anything on YouTube.
Anything.
Okay. Well, I love you guys.
Most importantly, you can find BGT on YouTube.
Yes. Until next time.
I love you guys.
Love you. Bye.
Broke girl therapy.
Broke girl therapy.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out the Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.